We take up God's word tonight in the 91st Psalm, Psalm 91. Our text is the first part of verse 4, though I'll mention the second part of verse 4 in the sermon as well, but our emphasis will be on the first part of verse 4. Let's read the psalm in its entirety. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Read God's holy word to that point tonight. Our text is verse 4. Verse 4a, but let's read the verse. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The psalmist begins the psalm by speaking of the secret place. Children, you know what a secret place is, don't you? When I was a child, as many children do, I built forts. And those forts were my secret place. A secret place is where you go when you want to be alone, when you want to feel safe, protected. The psalmist understands that feeling of needing a secret place. Only the secret place of the psalm is the secret place. And the need of the psalmist for that secret place is no mere echo of the great need, but is the great need itself. Knowing God's sovereign protection is to be in the secret place. And the need of that sovereign protection is the need for the secret place. And going into the secret place is faith's grasping hold by the Word and the power of the Spirit of the truth of God's sovereign providence, known for me that I am safe in Him. Chiefly, faith enters that secret place under the proclamation of the Word on the Lord's Day. Faith does that in our own devotions. Faith does that in our own meditation upon the Word. In prayer, faith enters the secret place. But the secret place is the consciousness by faith of His sovereign protecting care. The whole of Psalm 91 is about that sovereign protecting care of God. Psalter number 248, which we're going to sing after the sermon, gets it right when it puts the theme above that Psalter number, overshadowing protection. That's what this whole psalm is about, the overshadowing protection of God. But that overshadowing protection is nowhere captured more beautifully in the psalm than in our text, verse 4, where the psalmist pictures the secret place, the knowledge of that sovereign protecting care of God as being covered by Jehovah's feathers and being under His wings. Psalm 91 has three parts to it. The first part is in verses 1 and 2, where the psalmist speaks in the first person, I, and confesses his own trust in that overshadowing protection of God. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And then in verse 3, there is a switch of pronouns from I to you, as the psalmist in verses 3 through 13 looks, as it were, outside through the page to us and says, and you may and must know that same overshadowing protection that I am confessing I know too. Surely He shall deliver thee, you, singular, from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover thee with His feathers. And that continues through verse 13. He's speaking to God's people. And then, in verses 14 through 16, God Himself speaks in the psalm. Of course, it's all God's Word, inspired by Him. He is speaking in all of it in that sense. But at the end of the psalm, God directly speaks, as it were, confirms everything that the psalmist has been promising us in that second section as true for us. Verse 14, because He hath set His love upon me, me being God, therefore will I, God, deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Our text is in the second of those three sections, where the psalmist is looking out and teaching us of God's sovereign overshadowing care. Where what he teaches us then is confirmed by God's own voice in the last section of the psalm. If this is Moses writing this psalm by inspiration, and likely it is, then think of the three sections in that way, through that lens. Moses, his own personal confession of his own experience of God's protecting care, being spared on that little ark in the river, being preserved in Pharaoh's house, being preserved through the Exodus journey. Think of him making God his refuge, of him entering into the secret place at the burning bush at the door of the tabernacle. And now he's teaching the church, you must know that this care is for you too. And you, Church of Christ, here must know that this overshadowing protection is for you tonight. As we meditate upon it through that marvelous image in verse 4, taking up the content under the theme, under His wings, under His wings. Let's notice first the need, second the protection, and third the calling. The need, the protection, and the calling. If in the text God is comparing himself to a bird, a mother bird, eagle, hen, something like this, covers his chicks with his feathers, then that means you and I are the chicks. Don't balk at that. That's a good description of what we are. We are like those little chicks in two ways. First, as chicks live in a dangerous world, so do we. And second, as chicks have no defenses, are weak and vulnerable in that dangerous world, so are we. First of all, then, little chicks live in a dangerous world where the need for overshadowing protection is great. When the psalmist, through the psalm, gives the dangers that we face, you notice that he keeps this image of the dangers that would face the little chick in mind. In verse 3, he speaks of the snare of the fowler. A fowler is someone who catches little birds. He uses a snare to do that. A string in a circle that has some kind of trip on it and some bait in the middle of that circle so that when the bird goes after the bait, trips the trip, snatches him, wraps around him, catches him. Danger, terrible danger to little chicks. The psalmist in verse 13 speaks of the lion and the adder. An adder is a cobra, a snake. And then in the same verse, the young lion and the dragon. The word for dragon there is the word for serpents, snakes. Both animals, lion, young lion, and snakes, cobras and the rest, are on the prowl for little animals, for small birds. Even the pestilence that the psalmist speaks of in verse 3, the noisome pestilence, and in verse 6, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, has reference to a disease upon animals. The Hebrew word there for pestilence is the same word used of the fifth plague, the plague that fell upon the animals in Egypt. Exodus 9, verse 3, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain." Same word as noisome pestilence. A murrain, a disease upon animals. There are dangers for little birds and the world around them. There's other dangers spoken of in Psalm 91. Of course, the terror by night, the arrow that flies by day, speaking of an invading army. Those are dangers that correspond to the other image in verse 4. When he talks about the truth being thy shield and buckler, warfare images. We'll talk about that briefly a little later in the sermon. But in the main, the images of danger correspond to that first and main image, the danger of little chicks, in line with the protection that those chicks need under the wings of a mother hen. It's a dangerous world for chicks, with fowlers and murrain and young lions and snakes about. And it would be one thing, beloved, if those little birds had some ability to defend themselves against these things. But they do not. They're utterly defenseless. They have no speed like a dog to run away. They have no talons to scratch. They have no fangs to fight. They have no poison like snakes or lizards. A chick is one of the most vulnerable creatures there is. It has wings, but it can't even fly up into the heavens above all of the dangers, leaving them here below. It is a good picture of us. A good picture. We too live in a dangerous world. The great serpent has slithered into our world and, tempting our first parents into the fall, has brought with him all kinds of troubles and dangers. After the fall of man into sin, God's curse was unleashed upon this world, so that there are dangers for us at every turn, dangers both physical and spiritual. Due to the fall, there are physical dangers. And for each one of us, those physical troubles are even written right into our genes at the moment of conception, result of original sin, that in our very genetic makeup already, there are physical troubles, the effects of sin upon our bodies. Many of the troubles we'll face physically in our life are foreshadowed already in those genes. From there on out in our life, there's a threat of every evil before and behind. From car accidents to cancer, from ticks to tornadoes, from broken bones to broken hearts, from Down syndrome to depression. And besides that, and more important than that, there are spiritual dangers, much worse. That too begins at the moment of conception, because of original sin and the effects of the fall upon us. At the very moment of conception, we are in spiritual danger, utter spiritual danger, as a totally depraved nature is granted to us. And many of our spiritual dangers that express themselves in our lives coming out of us are already there, in that nature passed down to us at the moment of conception. From there on out, again, we're beset behind and before with spiritual trouble. The snare is set for us, the snare of temptation. The trap is laid, the bait is placed within, and it is tempting. We're drawn, and the evil one knows how to draw us. We're drawn by things that feed our pride. We're drawn by things that feed our lust, that play off of our insecurities, that take advantage of our quick temper, our self-pity, our discontent, our complaining spirit, our desire for revenge, our love of the spotlight, or our love of anonymity. How quickly and how easily it can be caught. Noose, snared, unable to free ourselves in our own strength. There's the pestilence of sin, the pestilence of conscious, willing sin. Conscious, willing sin is a disease. And when it expresses itself, it spreads itself. It spreads itself in us as an individual. When conscious, willing sin gets a foothold in our life, it spreads in our life, it gets stronger and stronger, it affects other areas of our life, so that what began as a little cough spiritually becomes spiritual convulsions as we give ourselves more and more to sin. Be warned, young people, children of the congregation. It lies. It lies. It says it will just take a little bit. Taking a little bit, it spreads itself more and more in your life. Always wants to, is never satisfied. Just like a virus is never satisfied with a little bit, but will spread itself. So too, pestilence of sin. And not only in an individual, but this pestilence of conscious, willing sin, how it spreads itself among a people. Just like a virus not only spreads in your body, but spreads to others who has not seen patterns of conscious, willing sin spread itself in a family. Spread itself down in a line of generations, that there's generational patterns of sin. Who has not seen conscious, willing sin spread itself, even in a church. Do not be fooled. It is a contagious spiritual disease. Our old man wants it. He's vulnerable to it. The lions and the snakes are after us. Sneaking, slithering snake tells its lies, whispering in our ear, "This will be good for you. This will be good for you. You will like this, and it will be good for you." The lion roars. It's an intimidating roar. You go along, you step in line, or there will be trouble for you. Both lion and snake, when we do fall into sin, God brings us to repentance and bring their terrible accusations. Press them home, that snake whispering in our ear, "You cannot be forgiven. God does not love you." And sometimes the roaring of that lion in our ear, "You are not His. You are not His. You're bound for hell, it's sure. There could be no way that He cares for you. Not with what He's putting you through in your life. Not with what you've done in the past. If anybody knew about it, they would never think that you could be a child of God either. There's no way." And the guilt rises and the regrets rise up. We can't deny it. We did do it. And the devil pounces as that lion and he slithers as that snake. An attempt to devour us, convince us He does not love you and He does not mean you good. And it would be one thing, beloved, if we had some defense for this. But we don't. None in ourselves by nature. We are as helpless as those little chicks. We are not angels. We are not gods. We are not glorified saints. We are born with a weakened physicality that is subject to all miseries in this life, physical difficulties and problems. We're born with a dead nature spiritually that can do nothing to prevent the snare and the serpent and the lion and the pestilence from overcoming us and taking us into the pit of hell. We're helpless, utterly helpless, vulnerable, and in danger. Death hangs over us spiritually, physically, eternally. And we are defenseless in ourselves. Are you ever afraid of this? Do you really realize this? From one point of view, if you are not afraid of this, then you have no idea what world you inhabit or who you are in it by nature. You are a chick in a dangerous world. And you ought to cry out, "What shall we do? Where is there protection? Is there protection to be found?" And as a child looks for a secret place where he might feel safe, the child of God looks, "Is there anywhere that I can run and be safe?" And there is, beloved, there is such a place. And it is under the sovereign, overshadowing protection of Almighty God. That's what's being described in this psalm, in that marvelous image of verse 4. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." The first part of that is the sure reality of it. "He shall cover thee with His feathers." Think about the image from the perspective of being up, looking down upon it. Mother bird covering those chicks. He shall cover thee with his feathers. The second part of that phrase is the subjective of the chick himself, the perspective of that little chick under the wings, looking up and seeing those feathers over top of his head, trusting that he's safe under those wings. Under his wings shalt thou trust. If you've never seen this image that the psalmist is referring to in nature, you must, even if it's only by searching YouTube videos on the internet. Everyone knows what this image is that the psalmist refers to, but to see it is another thing altogether. It's absolutely marvelous that a mother bird, whether it's a stork or an eagle or a hen, will take her chicks under her wings to protect them, to keep them safe. And those chicks will run there when they are frightened and insecure. In fact, this is one of the great images of God's overshadowing protection in the Psalms, showing the wonderful truth that the physical was created to be a reflection of the spiritual. The psalmist turned to this image again and again. Psalm 17, 8 and 9. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 61, verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Here is safety. Here is security. God's wings. He shall cover thee with his feathers. The God who's described in the first two verses with four names: Most High, Almighty, Jehovah, and Elohim, God. Verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that's whose wings these are, wings of the Most High. There are people who are in high places, very high places. But this is the Most High. There is none higher. He is above all others. He is the head of heads. He is the King of kings. Absolute dominion is his clothing. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty, the Shaddai, the entirely mighty one. There's mighty ones in this earth, but he is the Almighty. And any other might that's upon this earth is might that's his, on loan from him. All might belongs to him. There is no check and no balance upon his power. I will say of the Lord, all capitals, Jehovah, he is my refuge. Jehovah, the changeless one, the faithful one, with all of that power, keeps his promises so that there is no shadow of turning in him. If he promises it to his children, he will do it. He's faithful, keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. My God, my God, my Elohim, in whom I trust, word that refers to his creative power. Creation and providence, upholding all things. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Those are the wings of this God. Don't say, well, they're just feathers. What good does feathers do over me? The feathers of the Most High, the Almighty, the Jehovah, Elohim. And how astounding, beloved, that that great God, described in those four names, would condescend to His people to show them that all of that power is used for them, to care for them, to protect them, by comparing Himself to a mother bird. Isn't that marvelous? Here's Calvin. When we consider the majesty of God, there is nothing which would suggest a likeness such as is here drawn between Him and the hen or other birds who spread their wings over their young ones to cherish and protect them. When you think about the greatness of God in those four names in the first two verses, there's nothing about that that would lead you to say, I bet God is going to compare Himself to a hen here. It is a condescension. And Calvin continues, in accommodation to our infirmity, He descends, as it were, from heavenly glory to encourage us to approach Him under so humble a similitude. Spurgeon adds, had it been invented, this image of God as a hen, had it been invented by an uninspired man, it would have verged upon blasphemy. For who should dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? But as He Himself dictated the language, we have here a great condescension, such as it becomes us to admire and adore. This is the Most High God calling Himself this. This is the one who speaks and the cedars of Lebanon break. And yet when it comes to His covenant people, for their comfort, He will compare Himself to a hen keeping chicks under her wings. Well, does David say in another place? Thy gentleness hath made me great. The unbeliever does not fear God in those four names. And therefore he's doomed to be afraid of God. But the child of God fears and reverences God in those four names. Then may have this image of God as his own too. He's not terrified of Him, but sees His condescending grace and care. His wings covering His people. That's the protection. Covering them. He shall cover you with His feathers. You know, it's quite an amazing thing when a mother bird covers her little ones. She covers them entirely. You can't even see that there are little ones there at all. They're completely and utterly covered. No part is left exposed. That's the description of God's overshadowing protection. We'll describe that more specifically in a moment. But for now, recognize that His covering over His people is total. It leaves no part of our life exposed. We use that language of coverage, don't we, when we talk about insurance. I need to get coverage. Coverage for my car, coverage for my house. And if I don't have the coverage, the insurance agent tells me I'm exposed. You're exposed here, you're exposed there, you need coverage. But there's no insurance policy, beloved, that can cover you like this. You can purchase medical insurance, car insurance, hurricane insurance, ice storm insurance, and every other kind. But apart from being under His feathers, under His wings, you are still exposed, utterly exposed, exposed to death, to wrath, to hell, to sin, to Satan, to circumstances beyond your ability to predict. And in all of those things, even for which you do have insurance coverage, you're still so exposed. You may be covered from the point of view of money for the event, but not for the effects and what they mean and for the wrath that would come within them. Only in Him is their total coverage, body and soul, in life and in death. Wherever I am upon the earth, in whatever situation, His wings overshadow me utterly. Never does this protection run out. Never are there premiums that come due in the mail that you have to pay lest you risk losing protection. It is sure and it is steadfast, for it's His in sovereign care and grace. He shall cover thee with His feathers. It's all dependent upon Him, not me. And He shall cover thee with His feathers. When you wake up tomorrow and read this text, it will say the same thing and it will mean the same thing. When you wake up 10 years from now and read it, it will say the same thing and mean the same thing. He shall do it for His people. He shall. For whom? For those who are His chicks, He shall do it. A hen does not gather other chicks under her wings, but her own. So too God, a promise for His own. Those who are in Jesus Christ, who come then conscious of their great need spoken of in the first point of the sermon, and of their great danger, and of their great exposure, and their defenselessness, come to Him and say, the only protection is in Thee, and in Thee alone, and in Thy Son, Jesus Christ. In Christ, beloved, in Christ we know these feathers over us. Christ is the wings of God over us. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus took this image so prevalent in the Psalms and He applied it to Himself as the wings of God, leaving aside the interpretation of this passage for now. Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy people together, children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and ye would not. He is the wings. In Him we know the feathers of our God over us. Outside of Him we are exposed, utterly exposed, to every danger and to every evil. In Him we are covered, covered utterly. Faith in Him knows those feathers and knows those feathers for me personally. It's in the second person singular in our text. Both times, He shall cover thee with His feathers. You personally, and under His wings, shalt thou trust. You, for you, child of God, your secret place, His wings overshadowing you. More specifically now, what is this protection? How do these wings protect us from all of these dangers? Three things. There's a story from a book from the 1940s about a firefighter who was putting out a forest fire. And after that fire was put out, he was walking along and came upon a bird on the ground. That bird was utterly charred. It didn't move as he approached it, and so he came to it and pushed it a little bit with his boot. And out from under the wings of that bird ran three little chicks. The mother in that fire had covered those chicks with her wings and kept them safe. That's the first specific reality of this overshadowing protection. For the guilt of sin, beloved, we deserve the fires of God's just wrath upon us. When that slithering snake whispers in our ear, he's right about this part. We deserve hell in ourselves. But in Christ, God Himself takes the fires of wrath upon Himself in our place. And we, covered by the feathers of Christ, are safe, covered, protected. That's first. Second, when there is a danger about a young lion or a snake, a fox or a dog, a mother bird will take her chicks, put them behind her wings, and she will defend her little ones from the strongest predator. It's a sight to behold as animals even larger than her are scared away by her protection. Our God promises, beloved, that in our spiritual dangers, He will either lead us not into temptation, or when He determines that the temptation is for our profit, then He will always deliver us from the evil one ultimately. Never shall we be utterly consumed. Always He shall keep us as His own. The serpent cannot swallow us whole. The fowler cannot take us home and make us his supper. And even if caught in the snare for a time, God's people will be delivered. They will be preserved. Psalm 124, verse 7, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Part of this spiritual preservation is that He gives us His truth as shield and buckler, as the psalmist changes the image in the second part of the verse. Shield and a buckler are both shields. The word for shield is the big shield that you can almost hide your entire body behind. And the word for buckler refers to a small shield that you held in your fist that's maybe the size of a plate. That was for defense against sword attacks. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth is both defense from both the arrows that fly in out of nowhere and from the hand-to-hand combat with the evil one that we are engaged in sometimes. Hold on to His truth. Use His truth. Beloved, whatever you do, let it never be said that we've lost the love of the truth of His Word. Don't move from it to the right or to the left. There's danger in both. When temptation comes, when false doctrine comes, when accusations of the evil one comes, when the snake whispers, when the lion roars, what do you have except truth to be your shield and buckler? He gives us truth as shield and buckler, as part of His protection underneath His wings from spiritual danger. That's second. Third, especially storks and eagles, birds that make their nests way up high on the top of trees, or those nests are exposed to the elements, those mother birds will cover their young completely when they sense that a storm is coming. Hide their young under their wings to be safe from the rain and from the wind. So too, beloved, are God's overshadowing protection in the circumstances of our life. The effects of the fall are upon us, yes. And there is protection only here. Let me ask you, what insurance policy can avert all evil or turn it to your profit? Behold the sovereign, overshadowing protection of your faithful covenant God. He has all things in His almighty hands. He can avert evil away from His children and does. We don't think about that often enough. How many times we will discover when we get to glory, did He avert evil from us because we were not ready for it? We would not be able to bear up under it. We would be consumed by it and destroyed. And then what He does allow to come upon us causes to work for our profit. Can Allstate hold back the car accident until just the right moment when it will work for our eternal welfare? When it does come upon us? Can your health insurance agent hold back the disease and then bring it upon you in perfect timing for your eternal welfare and the eternal welfare of others around you and say to it, this far and no farther? Or when it's time this far to take you to glory, to avert other evil perhaps, is it time to come home? Only the sovereign God provides such coverage. These are the wings you're under. Look up, little chicks. What do you see? You see His feathers? His wings? Whatever circumstances are upon us, they are there. And like that little chick, runs and nestles under the wing in the security of that mother bird. Faith's trust nestles under the sovereign protection of Almighty God. That's the calling of the text. Trust. Under His wings shalt thou trust. Trust. Belief. This is true. It's true for me. Resting in this. A peace in this. God's people shall trust in these wings. Under His wings shalt thou trust. When future trouble comes, faith will rise. And trust here. Will there be doubts? There may be. Will there be times that we forget? We do not see those wings over us, those feathers there, to be sure. When the Word of God makes known the truth of it, as it is right now under the proclamation of the Word, God's people look up and they see these wings are here, this protection is here, and they shall trust. The Word works it in the hands of the Holy Spirit so that God's people hear that Word and they trust those wings are there, they're mine, they're over me. Enjoy. Or sorrow, in pain, or health. No matter how deep the depths, no matter what the circumstances are, trust. It's in the moments that we forget that there's fear. Fear. But when we see it, or in the secret place, then verse 5 is true. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And this is what it means then, beloved, to come into the secret place, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're there. We're objectively there, God's people are. To abide is faith grasping hold of the truth. Seeing it, little chicks looking up, those feathers over me. Know from His Word that this is true for me. It is true for me right now. And I'm safe that He is my God. Nothing past, present, or future shall destroy me. And all has been perfectly fitted for my salvation and my life with Him. And then, When you fall into sin, which may God graciously forbid, repent of that sin. Come to Him in faith. And you come again to that secret place. And you look up. And you see those once charred feathers have taken hell's wrath for you. And I am safe, forgiven. And when sin seems to have you in its noose, its snare, and you run to the Word, you run to those wings, desperate, I can't, oh God, I can't, but Thou canst, give me the strength and the will to fight. And you come under those wings and you see He's there and He'll give me aid. When the circumstances of life seem to be too much and you cannot bear up, and faith looks up and sees those feathers and knows those wings. In my own devotional life, my own prayer life, and my own meditation upon the Word, and chiefly here in the house of Jehovah God, and I rest in Him and His sovereign control over all things. And I don't say then, they're only feathers. They're the feathers of the Most High, the Almighty Jehovah God. And He will keep me. And He will protect me. And He will hold me in all things. In rain and in drought, in fruitful and in barren years, in meat and drink, sickness and health, riches and poverty, yea, and in all things. May it be said of us what Boaz said of Ruth, drawn as she was by sovereign grace under the overshadowing protection of God amongst His people. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. Father in heaven, grant that thy word is a power to effect what thou hast set out for it for thy people, to show them the wings and the feathers that are there for our comfort and to the praise of thy great grace. In Jesus' name, amen.